You would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, and then we're going to move over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter is writing to believers who were going through persecution. And in 1 Peter 4:12, he says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." Now look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. He's writing again to remind them of some key things. And he says, 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 16, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. And we have the words of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is God's Word. I want to talk to you today about singing in the dark. Singing in a dark place. As I was praying about the message for this morning, I was thinking about the fact that our circumstances really vary, okay? Sometimes things are going great. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's really hard. It can be very difficult. And sometimes, even when our circumstances are not so bad, we get in a dark place on the inside. There are a whole lot of people who struggle with just a weight of darkness. It's like they walk around under a cloud. And it's discouraging, because they want to feel better. They're not deliberately trying to make themselves gloomy, but it's just hard. What do you do when you're in a situation like that? Well, I want to suggest to you that the Bible tells us what we ought to do. It doesn't say, "I don't know, good luck. Good luck with that." The Bible tells us that we should rejoice. "But I don't feel good. I thought we've established that. My circumstances are not good. I don't want to be phony. I don't want to be hypocritical. I don't want to pretend that I feel good when I don't feel good." Okay. Then don't pretend. Just do what God says and rejoice. You're telling me when I feel bad, I'm supposed to feel good. No, I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm talking about what you're supposed to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. We'll come back to that scripture. In Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Jonah 2, 1 through 10. "From the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said," and what follows is a song. It's a song that's drawn from the scriptures, from the Psalms. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. The seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Would you say Jonah was in a dark place? He was inside a great big fish. Okay? No light switch. No candle. He's inside a giant fish for days. Now just think about it. I'm sure it was lovely. What was in there with Jonah? Whatever else was decaying and being digested by the fish. Ugh. Well, don't worry. He's going to get to land on the beach in a carpet of vomit. Ugh. How's vomit smell, folks? Anybody ever smell any vomit? We recently had someone with food poisoning staying with us. And they kept throwing up and throwing up. And, you know, no fun. No fun at all. Well, what if you were one of the chunks? Okay. I mean, it's not like it's pleasant to throw up. But imagine if you were one of the things getting thrown up. Oh! But for Jonah, that was deliverance. It was an improvement. He landed on the beach. Praise the Lord. But he didn't wait till he landed on the beach to praise the Lord. He was praising the Lord inside the belly of the great fish. And it says he prayed, but what follows is a song. He sang. That's how he prayed. When you're going through a really, really dark time, pray to the Lord and sing. That's exactly what Paul and Silas were doing when they were in Philippi. They had been unjustly arrested and beaten and imprisoned, and they're in the innermost cell, the darkest, dankest part of the prison. They don't have any lights in there. Is there anything else I can get for you? It was not a situation like that. They were in a very dark place. It was the darkest place. It was the innermost cell. There were no lights even during the daytime coming in from little windows. It was the pits, literally. That's a case where you can use the word literally to mean literally. I mean, it was horrible. And so what did they do? Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. What were they singing?
This is not fair. We're mistreated. Where is God when things like this happen to me? Life's a bummer. I can't stand it.
Is that what it is? Did you think that was what it was like? No. They were singing praises to God. Hymns, praising Him. Folks, our songs can reflect how we feel. The Psalms do that. But our songs have to be shaped by what God has already revealed in His Word. Because circumstances change. How many of you have ever had a day that was going really well and then all of a sudden, it got wiped out? Anybody? Yeah. How many of you have ever had a day that was going really terribly and then, boom, something wonderful happened? Absolutely. Our circumstances change. You know what tends to also change? Our feelings. Okay? Sometimes we feel good and sometimes not. But it can change. Some people are more low. Some people are more high. But everybody has ups and downs. You know what doesn't change? God and His Word. God's Word remains forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. But the Word of the Lord abides forever. That's why we keep going back day after day after day after day after day and feeding on the Word of God. Because this grounds us. This has to shape the way that we look at the world. This has to shape the way that we look at ourselves. This has to shape what we believe about God. This has to shape what we're going to do. We have to behave based on the truth that God has revealed in His Word. And so we come to God's Word and we say, Lord, teach me, change me, shape me. Use Your Word to change me from the inside out. Now, sometimes our songs are coming from a dark place because we messed up. That was the case with Jonah. Jonah had been told by God, do this. And Jonah went in the opposite direction. He did not like what God said, and so he just decided he wasn't going to cooperate. It wasn't that he didn't know what he was supposed to do. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do, and he said, no. And he tried to run away from God. That is so stupid. I mean, I'm sure that none of you have ever tried to avoid doing what God told you to do, right? Right? Oh, I'm sorry, you have on occasion? And let me ask you, when you disobey, how's it work out for you? Okay? I mean, what a mess. Like, why did I do that? What was I thinking? That was so stupid. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. Instead, he goes down and hops on a ship going in the other direction. But it turns out God is in charge not only of the whole planet, but of the entire universe, because He created the whole thing. And if you think that the universe is a big place, realize that God created it. All right? God is infinite. He is infinite, including His wisdom and His power. And so the idea that somehow you're going to get away from Him, the psalmist talks about that. That's one of the songs where he says, you know, if I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I go down to the depths, you're there. There's no place I can get away from you. Bingo. Realize that. You're not going to outrun God. So quit running from Him, start running toward Him, and you will find that He greets you with open arms. Jonah, on that ship, trying to get away from God, God sends a storm. And it is a powerful storm. And the sailors who did this for a living were terrified. Absolutely terrified. They'd never seen anything like it. The worst storm they'd ever been in. And they try to figure out what is going on. And Jonah says, it's me. This is my fault. I'm the reason you're having trouble. Did you know that sometimes our disobedience affects other people in a profoundly negative way? You better believe it. Many of you, if you think about it, know all too well how someone else's disobedience has impacted your life and made things difficult for you. Well, that's not just something other people can do to mess up your life. That's something you do that messes up other people's lives when you don't do what God says. Jonah is in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea, because he was trying to outrun God. Bad idea. And so he says to the sailors, you better just throw me overboard, because I don't want to ruin your life because of my sin. Just throw me overboard. And so they pray and they say, Lord, please don't hold us accountable for this man's death. And they throw him in the water. And Jonah takes out for shore. No. Jonah can't swim. You say, well, that's stupid. Well, actually, that's true of many people. If you've learned how to swim, you're blessed. There are a lot of people around the world who work on boats who can't swim. They didn't get a job on a boat because they thought, you know, I just love the water. They got a job on a boat because that was their only option. Now, there are a lot of people who swim. But in that storm, nobody's swimming. And I love Jonah's description of what's happening. He says, the water was coming over me, and I sank down to where the seaweed was in my hair. And then the bottom made it so I couldn't go any further. Have you ever hit bottom? I know people who have. And I'm not just talking about physically out in the ocean. I'm talking about in life with addiction problems, with all kinds of other relationship problems. Sometimes you're sinking, 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 and you come to a point where it's not possible to go any lower. That's where Jonah was. And so for Jonah, getting picked up by a giant fish that God had prepared was actually a gift. The whale was saying, sorry, I seem to have gas. Well, that was a good thing for Jonah, because otherwise he couldn't have breathed. All right? So he's in the belly of the great fish. Pastor Wood, you're treating this as if it's something that actually happened. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's just kind of a make-believe story, isn't it? No. It's not presented as a make-believe story in the Old Testament or the New. Jonah was a real man who tried to run away from God because he didn't want to preach in Nineveh. And God prepared a storm, and God prepared a great fish. And that great fish swallowed Jonah. I know there are fish that are big enough to swallow a man. In fact, there was a catfish once at Lake Lanier. This was a special fish. It doesn't say in the text that, and as happens from time to time, a man was swallowed by a fish and lived inside for 3 days and then was spit up on dry land. That's not what it says. It says this was a divine intervention. God did this. And so you've got a giant fish prepared by God for the purpose of swallowing Jonah, and preserving his life. And during the 3 days that he was inside the fish, it occurred to Jonah, I need to start praising God because I'm still alive. When you're in a dark place because you messed up, instead of saying, help, it's dark in here, try saying, thank God I'm still alive. Thank God I didn't die. Thank you, God, that you're in control. Dear God, I worship you. That's what Jonah did. He relied upon scriptures that he knew, and he used them to craft a song of praise to God. That's singing in a dark place. Rejoice that you have not been destroyed. Rejoice that God is merciful. But you may be in a dark place, not because you were trying to run away from God, but because you were trying to do what God said. Okay, I mean, I can see rejoicing because God's merciful and he spared me, and that's you know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I got that. That's one of my favorite songs. But what about when I'm in a dark place because I didn't try to run away from God? I'm in a dark place because I did what God said. Does that happen? Absolutely. That's what Peter is writing to the believers about. They are suffering for doing the right thing. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Who faced temptation day after day after day, and finally his boss's wife grabs him because her efforts at seduction had not been successful. And when she does, Joseph still refuses to give in, and he runs out of the place, leaving his outer garment in her hands. So she accuses him falsely of rape, and he goes to prison. Well, that doesn't seem fair. It's not fair. Well, why would God let that happen? Because it was actually part of Joseph's preparation for what God wanted him to do. So you're saying that if I do the right thing, I can end up suffering for it? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Jesus said, they're going to treat you the way they treated me. So you can expect suffering if you're going to follow Jesus. Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't either. But guess what? We're not in charge of the universe. And God knows what he's doing. I'm still trying to walk at least 10,000 steps a day. Let me just tell you, there are days I do not feel like it. But I like the results. I would rather suffer for doing what is right than to suffer for doing what is wrong. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. You shouldn't be suffering for doing bad stuff because you shouldn't be doing bad stuff. Instead, when you suffer for doing the right thing, rejoice. Give thanks to God. Why? Because our rejoicing is grounded in the truthfulness of God's word. We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And so he says, so you must understand, God's word is true. If you're going to stand through hardship, if when you do the right thing and you have to pay a high price, you're going to keep rejoicing, it's going to be because you know that God's word is true. So, in Philippians, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Paul was writing that to the Philippians because it was in Philippi that he and Silas were in that innermost cell. And God got them out of that and gave them the opportunity to lead the jailer to the Lord and his family. Folks, we don't know always why we're going through what we're going through. But regardless of whether we're suffering because we've done wrong or suffering because we've done right, we need to rejoice. We don't have to feel good. We've got to do what God says, which is to give him praise because he's worthy. And that doesn't change. And the fact is, it lifts us out of that funk. There's light in the darkness for those who are meditating on God's word. When you're going through a dark time, when you are in a dark place, Jesus says, if they persecute you for righteousness, rejoice. That's the way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. James says, count it all joy when you go through difficulties of various kinds, knowing that God is using that in order to make you stronger. So rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. That's God's call for all of us. And if you say, well, Pastor Wood, since I became a Christian, I really haven't had any dark times, I would say to you, you are 9 years old and you've been a Christian for 3 weeks. Give it some time. Okay? But if you're saying, Pastor Wood, please tell me that this entire life's journey is not going to be one dark time after another, I would say to you, I believe there will be days when the sun comes out and you find joy not only in the Lord, but in some of the blessings that he puts in your life. Years ago, I was going as a volunteer to try and cheer up some people who were in a nursing home. I went to the facility and I went to the person in charge and I said, I don't know anybody in this community and I don't know anybody in this nursing home, but I know that you're bound to have some people who don't get visitors. And I would be happy to go in and talk with them and try and encourage them. And she said, well, I wish you'd go see that lady right up there in that room. It was a beautiful, expensive facility on the north shore of Boston up on Cape Ann. And this woman lay in the bed facing the front door. She lay there on her side, facing the front door all the time, hoping day after day, hour after hour, that one of her relatives would come and see her. They'd put her in there, and then that was the end of that. They never came back. And she lay there desperately longing to see someone. Meanwhile, behind her, at the other side of her room, was a beautiful big picture window looking out over gorgeous grounds with flowers and shrubs and birds and the ocean beyond. I mean, it was a very expensive room. It was a very expensive facility. But this woman was missing all that beauty because she was focused on what she didn't have, which was a loved one coming to see her. So I said, I'd be delighted. And I went and I introduced myself to her and started talking with her. And then I began saying, wow, you certainly have a beautiful view out here. Look at that view. Do you see the ocean there? Do you see the flowers? Do you see the trees? Do you see all that? Isn't that beautiful? She wasn't really interested. She wanted to know again, who are you? I came back the next time. And I walked in and I greeted her by name, reminded her who I was, and I began to draw her attention to what was outside the window. And the next time I came, I did the same thing. And the next time I did the same thing. I did the same thing over and over. And you know what? I knew that my job was successful when I walked into that place and she wasn't facing the door. She was looking out the window. And when I came into the room and spoke to her, she said, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. Look at that." She was still in the same bed. She was still in the same room. But her focus had shifted from what she didn't have to what she did have. I want you to learn to sing, even in a dark place. Change your view. Change your focus. Look at God's word. Believe His promises. And regardless of what you're feeling, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Father, we thank You so much that You love us more than we can imagine. You love us and You sent Jesus to save us. Help us to believe Your promises. Help us to trust in You. And whatever we're going through, when we're in a dark time, when we're in a dark place, grant that we would rejoice. And we'll give You our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.